Welcome to Stop the Presses here on the 6th of June. It's a Monday. Your host, Mark Anderson. The music coming in was kind of coming in and out. Hopefully that's not indicative of other technical issues right now. Kind of speeding up and slowing down, too, but that's just from my end, probably. Anyway, we're just audio only today. Our video simulcast, that will probably return later in the week. At any rate, I'm joined by Ron Avery, nevertheless. How you doing today, Ron?
Real good. Good to be here.
Yes. Well, the big topic is my main one today. I'm hearing that I'm a little glitchy here. Michigan, so for the first time in a long time, I'm in a different location doing this show. And so the connection could become a little spotty. I'll ask the board op to keep me posted on that fairly regularly. At any rate, Bilderberg just wound up, yes, I do, to the answer to that question about the earbuds.
Okay.
The Bilderberg meeting just wound up this past Thursday, June 2nd, through yesterday, Sunday, June 5th, and in an unprecedented matter, responding to an email I sent quite some time ago, the Bilderberg media outlet, which has no letterhead, no physical location, no phone number, and address with no names attached to the email, they contacted me the day of the first day of the meeting, Thursday, June 2nd. Normally, even the alternative press like myself would get at least 3 to 5 days, maybe even a week or 2 or 3 weeks. But no, that's not to be anymore, evidently. So the very first day of the meeting is when I found out about it directly from them. And I also got calls from American Free Press editors and others, including Kriston Harris of The Rundown Live. And he's a sometimes guest on this show, and sometimes I'm a guest on his show. But anyway, it all came together, and it is one of the most significant meetings in a long time, part because they skipped 2020 and 2021. They say, over COVID concerns, and as Ron and I both know, that's extremely disingenuous. There's plenty of high-tech indoor climate and environment cleaning technology that can control all kinds of pathogens in the air and on surfaces, no problem. And that stuff's been around quite a long time. And these high rollers at Bilderberg, of course, fly in private jets where they don't have to deal with all the public has to deal with at public airports. So to say that COVID kept them from meeting in a publicly known way for 2 years straight is disingenuous at best. Not that it couldn't be that way, but I'm very doubtful. And anyway, they're back with a vengeance, as some reporters are saying. And we have 120 people that met, and it's now confirmed that they met at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel in D.C., along the Potomac, and that's where I attended a much more open, or at least semi-open, Trilateral Commission meeting back in 2014. So when I heard they were meeting in D.C. and that it was not the Westfields Marriott on the outskirts of D.C. in Chantilly, Virginia, where they've met 3 times before, but when I heard it was not going to be there, then the Mandarin Oriental came to my mind as the very likely place, and I turned out to be correct. Anyway, they're back with a vengeance, as I noted, and there are 14 topics, and there's a video posted at American Free Press where I go through this in a slightly different way, AmericanFreePress.net. You can see it there. But anyway, to reiterate, the 14 topics, geopolitical realignments, get that word, Ron, realignments, NATO challenges, here's a one word. Number 4, Indo-Pacific realignment. There's that word again. 5, Sino-U.S. tech competition. Sino meaning China. Interesting that it uses the word competition when a 1991 Bilderberg attendee, William Jefferson Clinton, who right before Bilderberg was the Arkansas governor and right after Bilderberg became U.S. president, instead of engaging in Sino-U.S. tech competition, Bill Clinton was engaged in China Gate, where cooperation in an underhanded, illicit, illegal way was the name of the game, and very sensitive missile guidance technology was transferred from the U.S. to China under the watch of Bill Clinton. So yesterday's cooperation has become today's Bilderberg competition with China. Again, it sounds disingenuous. Another one-worder, number six, Russia. Number seven and eight, Ron, sound very interesting when spoken together. Continuity of government and the economy is number seven. Number eight is disruption of the global financial system. Now, before I name number 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 of the topics, Ron, what do you think of those two? Number seven, continuity of government and the economy. Number eight, disruption of the global financial system. When you consider that continuity of government has to do with what the government will do in the event of a major crisis, political, military, economic, pandemic, quote unquote. I just thought I'd get your first blush.
Well, I think it's rather humorous that they use continuity of government. That's a big presumption. We don't have any already. What they mean is continuity of tyranny and the economy. Because that's what this whole thing is. this whole idea of
Very well put. Yeah, what government?
Yeah, continuity. What they mean is
what constitutional government?
Yes, that's what they mean is continuity of control, global control, and the economy. They don't want to lose control over the world through their fraudulent and unlawful economic system. So, disruption. Oh, please, let there be no disruption of the unlawful, tyrannical, global financial system. God forbid that we develop lawful government in every nation of the world, and they all live according to the principles of property that regulate every aspect of lawful government. These people don't know anything about lawful government. These people are barbarians. And this geopolitical realignments, boy, what in the world is that? This is just down. Well, I want you to carry on because there's more of this kind of description of what they're doing.
Yes, disinformation. I like what you're saying there, Ron.
Yeah, disinformation is the next. Oh, God forbid there be any real information, which they call disinformation. So believe that tyranny is lawful government, and they have that this band of barbarians have lawful authority to manipulate the world and these different countries. It is preposterous. I mean, they have no authority whatsoever. And the economic system has no authority. This is all a bunch of high-level gangsters that meet and talk about control. And this is like the mafia. This is like an international mafia meeting to discuss, you know, to talk about how they're going to keep control and do what they want to do with their so-called economic system, which, again, is not a lawful economy either. It's just all tyranny.
Indeed. I'm going to your voice even kind of is a little bit slightly staticky and slightly going out. I'll suggest to the board ops that pop, or I might want to switch to phone from my tablet just for the audio. Suggest that now, but we won't make that possible switch till the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
But just to move on, yes, to accent what you're saying, Ron, Ron sounds good, I sound glitchy. Yeah, we might switch to the phone system at the bottom of the hour. Continuity of government for whom? Disruption of whose financial system? whose disinformation are we talking about? They speak, as you noted, as if disinformation is an external thing to them, that they have nothing to do with it. When mass media cartel people, such as the Zanny Mentados, the British editor-in-chief of The Economist, and also newspaper people, attend these meetings but don't report on them. That is the very basis of abandoning the journalistic enterprise and delving into propaganda and disinformation by that very act. By that very act of selling out your journalistic principles, leaving them at the door, or if you ever had any principles to begin with, and going into this meeting and agreeing ahead of time you're going to listen and participate rather than cover it. That is right. The very taproot of disinformation. So,
yeah, and then to talk about what do they call it? Transparency, they've been accused of being a closed meeting instead of transparent. Well, they maintain both. Oh, yeah, we're transparent. You just can't attend or talk about anything we talk about. So, how is that transparent in any form or fashion? I mean, these guys are just liars. It's a band of criminals. That's that simple.
Yes, dressed respectability. And just to finish the topics, energy security and sustainability, number 11, post-pandemic health, number 12, fragmentation of democratic societies, fragmentation carried out by whom? Number 13, trade and deglobalization. Well, we never asked for the global trade system that we were given and that was forced upon us. Never did we request this thing with these unwieldy, unmanageable long supply chains. It was never a desire of the people, ever. And the last one, Ron, Ukraine. And of course, the Ukrainian ambassador to the U.S. was at the Bilderberg meeting that just wound up, June 2 through June 5, concluding yesterday. And according to Charlie Skelton of the Guardian, an otherwise completely woke, liberal, left, internationalist, useless newspaper, at least Charlie does a good job and maintains some good Bilderberg articles in there. And he speculated, somewhat speculation, but was fairly sure that Zelensky called in via video in his usual t-shirt modeling thing and called into the Bilderberg meeting via video and took part. And Alex Karp, who heads up the corporation Palantir, which is a CIA-funded surveillance and data-gathering corporation, Alex Karp reportedly met with the Ukrainian so-called leader Zelensky just before the Bilderberg meeting. And that's according to Charlie Skelton of The Guardian. And I don't know his exact source on that. I need to corroborate that. I'm going to call that a maybe or a most likely. But these are some of the other things falling into play, Ron. And there'll be much more to talk about after the break, when I'll probably switch to another means of communication even after this first break, and talk about the fact that Albert Bourla, the Pfizer CEO, was there, as was GlaxoSmithKline's chief executive officer. That's another big pharma outfit. And of course, they're seated there, Ron, alongside major Wall Street investors who are there along with major central bankers, investment bankers, other financial gurus, think tanks, lots of people that could give Pfizer even more of a leg up. Same thing with GlaxoSmithKline. So this is the other part of it, Ron, is unofficial illegal lobbying, or at least the foundation for lobbying, could easily and probably does easily take place at these meetings. In fact, the British former member of parliament, Michael Meacher, right after the Bilderberg meeting in 2013, got on the floor of parliament and declared that this is a deal-making meeting, among other things. And Michael Meacher, who looked to be in perfectly good health, although he was a somewhat older gentleman, was dead in less than 2 years after that. Call that a coincidence, we will for now. But these are some of the other elements of this, Ron. Some of the other going.
Yes. Are you there? I think we lost you. Oh, I thought we lost you for a minute. Yeah, I mean, just almost every one of these topics is a presumption and reflects unlawfulness, like fragmentation of democratic societies. Oh my goodness, what democratic societies? This is suspect immediately. A democracy is not a lawful form of government. So fragmentation of democratic societies is a good thing. Hallelujah for fragmentation of unlawful democratic societies. Where did they get this? This stuff, democracy was abandoned 400 years before Christ as an unlawful form of government. And it is. It should have been, if they wanted to talk about something lawful or scary, they should have said the demise of republics. Because republics are based on law, not people voting. And these people love all this voting crap because they own the mass media cartel and they control the public mind and they want everybody voting because they can control what they think and how they go vote, because that's all they hear is all this crap they put through the mass media cartel. So they don't want people being protected by the law that protects their life, liberty, and possessions. They want people just to be able to vote in anything that they can sell, like this so-called gun control, so-called gun control, which is, it's an insane proposition. It's really disarmament of the American society against the Second Amendment that protects us against tyranny. And it's just, it's one thing that they misdescribe everything in order to institute tyranny and maintain tyranny is what they're doing. Post-pandemic?
We got about a minute and a half.
What do you mean post-pandemic? They're having a permanent pandemic. There's not even a definition of pandemic. There's no way anyone could tell whether they're in one or out of one. This is just more verbal deception of the people.
Indeed, Ron, we're coming up on the break here in about a minute. I'm going to be switching to another means of communication just to be safe. I'm going to ask the board ops to call me during this very next break. Don't wait till the bottom of the hour, as noted here in the text. And I would just note probably a point of clarity, Ron, when they refer to democratic societies, they're referring to European democracies. I don't think they mean America per se. And they might mean that republics, you know, have democratic institutions. They might not mean democracy, but I do know that most of the Bilderbergers don't favor republics and favor democracies where the media misinforms people. And then the people vote according to the misinformation. And, of course, that's a very hazardous and
You're saying the same thing I did, just trying to be nicer about it. Okay.
Well, just a little more accurate. Don't take that wrong. How they think. When they say democratic societies, they're speaking in a very general sense. But anyway, we'll be right back.
American Freedom News.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Sam, welcome to the next segment of Stop the Presses here on the 6th of June, 2022. Your host, Mark Anderson, communicating through another means now. I hope it's clear. How's it sounding, Ron?
Sounds better to me.
Good. Hopefully steadier, too, with fewer glitches or hesitations. So we've been talking about the Bilderberg meeting. Started last Thursday, June 2nd, ran through yesterday, Sunday, June 5th, the shortest notice ever. So therefore, AFP, in any effective sense, could not get much, if any, boots on the ground at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel in Washington, D.C. I need to find out if any subscribers living in that greater area or one of our former writers who lives just north of there in Maryland might have made it down there like yesterday. I'll soon find that out. I'm working on AFP articles on this right now. Preliminary AFP articles are already posted at AmericanFreePress.net. Check it out. And there's also a video that's linked to an article or kind of a link there or a headline that talks about the topics. If you click on the headline that refers to topics, that'll lead you to a video, a monologue that I shot Saturday where I explain quite a bit about this. And that's getting quite a bit of play, as I understand it. But here we are. The last time they met was in 2019, in the flesh anyway, at least announced meeting in the flesh. That was in Switzerland. As I noted, they missed 2 years, allegedly due to COVID, 2020 and 2021. Now, as noted, they're back this year. And we see now that the list of attendees is also especially interesting, and that includes William J. Burns, the head of the CIA itself, and 8 or 9 other top federal officials. I outline more of them in detail at that video that I referred to that you can watch through AmericanFreePress.net. But these the top big pharma people, like your friend and mine, Albert Bourla of Pfizer, the CEO, who I will say unequivocally is an international criminal. And it just so happens, Ron, and I can't make a direct correlation with Bilderberg, the Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla is at Bilderberg right when, according to WorldNet Daily, which is pretty reliable overall, right when the FDA is about to review Pfizer's application to give the COVID jab to kids as young as 6 months old, up to five. They already got them as young as five. Now they want to get the toddler and infant gap, say 6 months or so, up to 4 or 5 years old. That's right on the FDA's table as Bourla appears at Bilderberg, which is something I'm going to look a little more deeper at as I get time to do it here. Just got off the road driving from Texas, a long drive. And so that's another thing, Ron, that's quite unsettling.
Yeah, it does look like they're treating, they want to treat the livestock. They want to tag the livestock and inject them, make them their property all the way down to children, to like you say, toddlers, essentially babies. So, you know, it's like the calves, the newborn calves have to have their ears tagged and have their shots. I'm worn out from this. There's no authority for this kind of stuff at all, and I just wonder why people are allowing this kind of stuff. Why nobody asks what is the authority of these kinds of people? You mean all it takes to run the world is to become wealthy? I mean, is that the only requirement to be one who runs the world? Didn't we get through with monarchs? Didn't we came to this whole idea of monarchies where you have somebody with some kind of bloodline that these people have authority to run a society, to run a nation. And we proved that was just a bunch of horse pucky. There was nothing to that. And so we created America where, yeah, the only way people have authority to run the country is by election to offices and by conformity to the Constitution that constituted their authority. And now, apparently, it's all different. It's just who has the money, who's gotten all the money, the banks and all of that. They're now, somehow or another, they have authority to do what? They don't have authority to do a damn thing. I mean, these people ought to just be, we ought to be asking, what are you guys doing? I think they ought to be arrested and asked what in the hell they are planning and how they're going to institute it and by what authority they're going to do that.
You know what, Ron, it's interesting you brought that up. In 2013, the third Bilderberg meeting I went to, I started working with the late, great Jim Tucker, AFP Bilderberg Count of 2010. Some of that came up. We'll discuss them more on the other side.
Such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Stop the Presses, your host Mark Anderson, kind of recovering, you might say, from a long drive, Texas to Michigan, my annual sojourn. And right as I was driving, Bilderberg decides to announce that their meeting wound up June 5th, yesterday started June 2nd. Ron and I have been talking about a lot of the real problems and incongruities and blatant tyranny and presumptuous nature of these meetings. What Ron was saying before the break especially is notable, that apparently all one needs is wealth and connections. You don't need to be elected to office. You don't need to take any kind of oath to any constitution, or if you do, you don't need to honor it. You just network and towel flick your way and brown tongue your way up the network and, marshal your resources, your millions, your billions, your trillions of dollars, whatever it might be, meet with like-minded people, and voila, you've got kind of a internationalist Politburo networking committee, planning commission for world government or private governance, more properly described, because that's what it really is. It's an attempt, and a fairly successful one, to privately seize the reins of government in a surreptitious manner and make it look like it's just a big discussion group. And they've tried to pull the wool over the people's eyes in that way for a long time. I'll just mention, Ron, before you comment, that for an article for American Free Press that I'm going to give listeners an advanced taste of, I smoke this out and explain why this is not just a discussion group, and it's admitted in a sort of oblique way by the founder of Bilderberg himself, Joseph Redinger, along with some other things I can cite. But go on and comment, and then I'll get to that.
Yeah, this is a policy setting meeting. This is inviting the biggest movers and shakers of the world to come together and let's talk about policy for the next year. are further down the road, implementing a policy that is beneficial to all of them. Well, in a way, what is the difference between pirates meeting at the Isle of Tortuga and figuring out how to split the booty and the plunder and do it in a good way that supports each one of them so they can work together in the plundering of the world? I mean, because this group has no authority whatsoever to do anything. And I'm thinking that the people should be arrested and asked just what they are up to and what they're doing and by what authority. And what are they talking about these things if they have no authority to implement them? To me, again, it's just it's a bunch of pirates.
Yeah. I can answer that through, you might say, through the eyes of Bilderberg, and this is where it gets interesting. It's not really an answer, but it's what they pose as an answer. First of all, let me mention that in 2013, there were some interesting experiences. One kind of funny thing was some BBC activists, a kind of hirelings for the BBC, which is a subversive taxpayer-funded news organization, of course, in Great Britain, the British Broadcasting Corporation. Some of their troublemakers showed up wearing capes and goat heads, and they were trying to discredit the alternative media and others that were there to take the Bilderberg meeting at the Grove Hotel up the hill there in England. We were trying to take it seriously, so they sent in these people wearing goat heads, like Halloween outfits, and me and some local public relations police officers that the UK has. They don't wear a sidearm. They were talking with us, and they were more or less convinced that this Bilderberg thing was not a good thing. And one of the police officers who helped me chase down one of the goat-headed people, Ron, to get him out of there so they couldn't discredit the meeting, he said, "Mr. Anderson, if I could go in there and arrest those people, I would. I agree with you. This is completely illicit and illegal, and they should be placed under arrest." He says, "There's no way I could actually do that, but if I could, I would in a heartbeat." And he told me that in what I consider to be all sincerity. And so there, I have met police officers, not many, rather rarely, that don't like what's going on at all. Some I just sensed they didn't like it. This guy explicitly said he didn't like it. And however, what the Bilderberg people will tell you is what they always say every year. What they do, Ron, is they plead innocent, and they come out with this anonymous media outlet that I talked about, no letterhead, no names, no phone number, just an email. And how many organizations of this magnitude have a media outlet like that, right? But anyway,
right.
here's what they always put. Founded in 1954, Bilderberg meetings are an annual conference designed to foster dialogue between Europe and North America. Every year, between 120 and 140 political leaders and experts from industry, finance, labor, academia, and the media, it's actually more than that, are invited to take part. About two-thirds come from Europe, the rest from North America. Approximately a quarter of them are from politics and government, the rest from other fields. The meeting is a forum for informal discussions about major issues. The meetings are held under the Chatham House Rule, which states that participants are free to use the information received, you could also say conclusions arrived at, but neither the identity nor the affiliation of any of the speakers or any participant may be revealed. Thanks to the private nature of the meeting, the participants take part as individuals rather than in any official capacity, and therefore are not bound by the conventions of their office or by pre-agreed positions. As such, they can take time to reflect and listen and gather insights. There's no detailed agenda, no resolutions are proposed, no votes are taken, and no policy statements are issued. Now, in this article that I'm given an advanced taste of, what I'm doing is I'm stripping this of all its credibility and talking about how the founder of Bilderberg in so many words, explained that this current statement that they issue every year isn't true. Even though he tries to make it sound like it's true, his own words defy him, and I quote him at some length to prove that they're being disingenuous at best about this, Ron. But the part that jumps out at me the most is that the participants take part as individuals rather than in any official capacity. I'm sorry, but if you're the chief of the CIA or a sitting senator like Kyrsten Sinema, a Democrat from Arizona who went to Bilderberg this year, or you're the head of the National Security Council who was there this year, you cannot leave your public job at the door when you go meet behind totally private, secretive closed doors, with the hotel having kicked all the rest of the public out for 3 or 4 days. The whole place is ringed with heavily armed security. No one knows what's being said in there. And these people think they can take their public job and leave it at the door and go in there as purely a private person and meet with financiers and central bankers and politicians from other countries and intelligence chiefs from other countries and the head of NATO. And they think they can leave their job at the door, Ron. And
well,
if they're not, let me get one more in. If they're not bound by the conventions of their office, one of the conventions of their office is their oath of office.
Well, yes. Another way of saying that is, or another revelation you have about this group, is that this group has more power than any government. Because how do they set the policy that people can meet there as individuals and not in their official capacity? You mean this statement right here overpowers national constitutions of nations I forgot the name of the rule or act that prevents these people from meeting in secret with other governments and government officials.
The Logan Act. Yeah, keep going.
The Logan Act. Thank you. This just sets aside that? No, this group is nothing more than a group. It's a cartel of pirates. And they talk about policy that's beneficial to them. And it is in defiance of constitutions. And if countries really had the smart, and if we had lawful government in America, every official in America that went to this group should be immediately arrested under the Logan Act and just prove that this band of pirates has no authority to say that government officials can meet as individuals outside of their official capacity. Says them. I mean, that's preposterous. It's absurd. That means nobody has any lawful governments. This is the thing.
Yeah, you know, you made a great point that I haven't heard made much before, though it's went through my mind that, although they don't say it explicitly, the Bilderberg organizers, that's the steering committee of, about 35, 40 members that are the core members that organize and decide who to invite, decide where to meet, decide what to discuss, decide how to pay for it all, etc. They just presume that they can dictate in a rather condescending way, although it doesn't appear condescending at first blush maybe to some people, but they just presume that they can declare to the people attending who are government officials that, hey, guess what? We say that you can drop your name tag and just be Joe Smith. You don't have to be CIA Chief Joe Smith anymore because we say that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, why should the United States of America honor Bilderberg's statement? I mean, that's meaningless. That's totally meaningless. I mean, it's the Constitution and acts of the United States that have authority, not Bilderberg and his band of happy pirates. I just say to hell with that, Mr. So-and-so, Mr. Head of the FBI, CIA, whatever. You're going to jail, Jack, because that you can't be meeting in secret with other government officials from other countries and talking about policy, or in fact any other thing that's a closed and talk about policy. I'm sorry, you go to jail.
Yeah, because it smacks of, number one, illegal lobbying. Number two, illicit treaty making, or at least the foundation for the lobbying and the treaty making. Number three, financial favors, which goes in hand with lobbying. I mean, it's wrong on so many levels. And to kind of keep going, here's what I wrote in this article that's going to be in American Free Press print copy and very likely online too. An August 1956 essay, Ron, written by Joseph Redinger, who was kind of a mysterious figure, Dr. Joseph Redinger. He wrote an essay in August 56 called The Bilderberg Group, and this is 2 years after Bilderberg started meeting, but he was still kind of formulating things, and he was starting to explain this thing that he and Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, who was the first official chairman, that they put together as a team to start the Bilderberg meetings at the Hotel de Bilderberg in the Netherlands, and that's how the group got its name, by meeting at a hotel with the Bilderberg name, and the name stuck. But anyway, here's what Redinger himself wrote. In order not to be accused of starting an unofficial political mafia, we decided from the onset not to consider ourselves a policy-making body, but to have as our principal aim the smoothing over of difficulties among countries and the finding of a common approach in the various fields, political, cultural, economic, and social. Moreover, we do not contemplate taking any direct action. We draw the attention of existing organizations to the points in question, and so on and so forth. And he added, we hold roundtable conferences with people whom we believe represent the general opinion of the leaders of their country. At our meetings, however, we do draw conclusions, but there's no voting on resolutions. And then I go on to explain in my own words. So Redinger basically said that a common approach is sought to draw conclusions, and this is off the grid or privately by the very nature of these meetings, and with the tacit but secret approval of the government whose citizens attend these meetings. See, so the governments give, according to Redinger, a tacit approval, but the public doesn't know about that. And existing organizations, which means the various companies, banks, media, academic institutions, think tanks, select royalty, government agencies represented, they have their attention drawn to the points in question. And so you see the doublespeak here, Ron. And here Redinger also noted in this essay, quote, we have found that an exchange of views may sometimes produce new ideas at these meetings, and that in a way the Bilderberg Group may be a factory of initiative. Get those words, a factory of initiative. We decided, however, that none of the ideas or initiatives would be developed by the group, but the ideas and initiatives should be passed on to other persons or organizations that could further develop them. See, so what he's saying in so many words, Ron, in an Orwellian sense, is they nurture the framework for policy, and they gather ideas that they all can agree on in a consensus-building way, and then in a surreptitious fashion, they're implemented by individuals who attend and by outside people, and the Chatham House rule keeps it secret as to who said what and when, and so everything is very surreptitiously implemented. And no one, when these things are implemented, would necessarily recognize it as having come from Bilderberg. So you see how it works.
Yeah, what it really means is it's just another government that they just don't vote necessarily, but it's a government that sets policy, and it's all by private invitation. It's not like, hey, let's represent somebody from Texas to go to this. Let's get a private individual, and the people of Texas will vote for this private individual, this particular person, to attend one of these meetings. No, it's by private invitation only, by one of the pirates or a group of the pirates. So it remains a closed cartel, and they make their policy. And they can implement the ideas, and of course, okay, so they don't take a vote, and That's probably because they don't know individuals are going to be stuck with the crimes that they're doing. So, yeah, I mean, it's just the whole thing to me is illegal, because this is what governments ought to be doing. This is what we have a House of Representatives for. This is what we have a Senate for. We elect people and send them to this to talk about the same damn thing these people are talking about, but talk about it in a lawful way, how to protect the people's property, everybody's property, the guy that collects the garbage right along with the banker. See, there's no garbage collectors going to this meeting.
Yeah, it's not a populist gathering. And I'll note, too, that you may be interested to know, and you might recall me talking about this, Ron, but you might have forgotten about it. The former governor, John Hickenlooper of Colorado, when he was governor, went to the 2018 Bilderberg meeting in Turin, Italy. And in a very rare thing that I covered pretty much exclusively among alternative media, I think it was exclusively, and regular media only picked it up sporadically in and around Colorado, a state ethics panel sanctioned Governor Hickenlooper for going to the Bilderberg meeting in 2018. I believe he was fined for it, and they noted above all that he was being sanctioned for his improper use of his capacity as governor for even going to Bilderberg, and yet he still managed to overcome the sporadic local and state publicity on his illicit travels. He defeated Republican Cory Booker for the U.S. Senate seat that Booker had, and got into the Senate after he had tried to become a Democratic presidential nominee and failed miserably despite his Bilderberg backing. But they did, I believe, the Bilderberg probably played at least an auxiliary role in getting him a Senate seat so he'd have a way station on the way to trying for the presidency again, perhaps. But Hickenlooper admitted that he got talking points from Bilderberg, Ron, before the meeting, before he even traveled to Italy. They sent him a packet of the talking points and topics and details about those topics. And I found a 1962 leaked Bilderberg meeting document, a written record of the entire meeting of 1962 in Sweden, and it explains how they operate. Briefly speaking, they have a rapporteur, or however it's pronounced. It's sort of a French way of pronouncing reporter. And a reporter or a reader comes up and reads a given topic in detail, and that's the same material pretty much that the attendees received in advance. He goes up, he reads it, and goes over the key talking points. And then select people are brought up to the podium to elaborate and speak on what the reporter shared to get things going. And then after that, miscellaneous people can raise their hands and either speak from their seat or go up to the podium. So they winnow it down. They reach the consensus through this technique. Give a general reading, have individual speeches, and then winnow it down by additional commentary. Everything is recorded, and then they basically reach a consensus on what should be done or what the main things to pursue are regarding each of the topics. That's a clear indication of how it worked in the 60s. There's every reason to believe that's pretty much how it works now. But the late Jim Traficant, the late great populist Jim Traficant, the Democrat from Ohio, the congressman said that he was convinced and had good intel that they record every meeting video-wise, of course, for their private, private keeping, for their private
blackmail. Yeah,
you never know, right? And like you say, they wouldn't want to have a vote. Number one, they wouldn't need to have a formal vote or issue any statements because they don't have to. It's not necessary. But another reason that they don't have to do that, and they make that sound like it's a big deal, oh, we don't vote or issue any statements. But another reason that they wouldn't do that is because that creates a larger paper trail, something that might be harder to keep canned up or bottled up. And if that were to get out, that could implicate people as having voted on something that they shouldn't have participated in. So I think that that's largely damage control. But in reality, they don't have to do any of those formalities because this is a kind of a planning and framing meeting, and other people who are both attendees and extensions of the attendees. For instance, the Chrystia Freeland, the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada, attended. She'll take this back to Justin Trudeau, the main Prime Minister of Canada. She'll sit down with him, no doubt. She'll share with him what happened. And something will pop up in Canada that most people won't know came from Bilderberg in some way, shape, or form. So, again, you see how it works.
Yeah, and I think they ought to be arrested as soon as they get back to Canada. And the same thing with all these government officials, even the one I referred to is now I forgot the name. But anyway, these people should simply be arrested for attending this thing as a closed policy-creating group. I mean, it's just... It's unlawful. I mean, these people have a responsibility to their own society, to their own people that elected them, and not to this band of pirates.
Yeah, that's it, right? If they're going in there in their private capacity and surrendering their public job at the door, they're in effect surrendering to Bilderberg, you might say. Capitulating to this group, and Bilderberg comes first and their job comes second.
Yeah, and weaving those things together, I mean, and putting that policy into their nation, I mean, that's just, it's preposterous. The people of Canada should be doing that, not Bilderberg, and the same goes for America. I mean, they have no business even in listening to that crap.
Yeah, exactly. And so compared or put alongside what you're saying and what I'm saying, the founding statements of the Bilderberg founder, Joseph Redinger, and the current statements that claim this is all just innocent glad-handing and socializing and talking about the issues of the day, having a retreat, getting these things off their chest, you can see how disingenuous and full of doublespeak that really is.
Yeah, I think we ran out of time, Mark. Yeah.
Okay, we're coming up to the end of the show. Yeah, exactly the end of the show, right on the money. Well, thanks for listening, ladies and gentlemen. There'll be more on Bilderberg in the shows ahead because more things will come out. But thanks for joining me, Ron. Apologize for the slight technical problems, but we'll see everybody next time on Stop the Presses. Go to AmericanFreePress.net for much more on Bilderberg. And BilderbergMeetings.org if you want to hold your nose and read their own stuff. But we'll see you next time. Have a great day. I'm Mark Anderson with Stop the Presses.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it. And how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get. And you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.